today on Doomed! Hey kids, do you wish you were doing the Mario in Afghanistan? Looking for the Chaos Emeralds with Sonic and Tails in Iraq? Well then, does the US Army have a proposition for you? Today on the show, political activist and one half of the Insurgents podcast, Jordan Yule joins the show to discuss what he uncovered the U.S. military doing on the video game live streaming platform Twitch, and the domino effect a bit of live chat trolling the Army caused. Jordan, thank you so much. Well, first of all, let me pull you up on the show. One second. Jeez, I am exhausted because I really need to stop doing two shows on the same day, but I do it for the love of the sport. I don't know what I'm talking about. How you doing, yeah, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Jordan, it is my pleasure to talk to you about this topic because it is incredible what just transpired over the last few weeks, all because you happened to find the U.S. military, the U.S. Army specifically, live streaming some video games on Twitch.
Yeah, to say the least. It's been quite the few weeks. Started as like kind of like curious trolling and ended with a congressional amendment being debated. So yeah, I mean, we can go over the whole timeline and everything that got us to that point. But I mean, the end result is now people are more aware. And if your viewers are not aware, they soon will be.
Yeah, this is, you are a pro, by the way, at setting this up. Most people would have just gone right in without realizing that the audience does not know the very like foundation of the story. But man, you could tell Jordan's a podcaster.
Yeah, well, if the mic didn't give it away, surely that's set up.
So let me first ask you this before you step the story, because you appear to be a Twitch streamer. You are familiar with the... See, for me, and this audience knows this, and people whose Twitch channels I've gone on also know this, I am an old man when it comes to Twitch. I might as well be a boomer when it comes to Twitch. It is the one, like, I get TikTok even, and that's like for Gen Z. Something about Twitch and all the different features and bits and all that stuff they do on there, a little bit confusing to me, but maybe eventually I'll get it. So you are familiar with the channel, with the platform, excuse me, and you have your own channel on there, and you're like a video game streamer.
Yeah, I mean, modest audience. It's just kind of like a thing to do. Not something I like center in my kind of like career, but it's a fun hobby. It's a fun side project. I've got some buddies who I regularly stream with. We've been playing through all the Halo campaigns. But yeah, familiar with the platform, know kind of how it works.
Right. Buddies like Ninja and PewDiePie.
Yeah.
And,
right. Oh, you've heard of them?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So let's talk about now this amazing story. It's still shocking to me just how quickly everything went down with this. I mean, just goes to show you that you get some young political activists like yourself in there doing the work, and then you combine that with a young congresswoman who's hip to the internet and what's going on there, and you get some real movement right in the halls of Congress. But I don't want to jump too far ahead. So let's get down to that fateful day where you decided to go on Twitch and there was the U.S. Army doing some Let's Play gaming. Did you know they were on there? Did you know they were doing that, or did you just stumble upon it?
So I kind of knew that they were on it. So back in April, I saw on the banner of Twitch, I went on late one night and saw that the Army esports team was like prominently featured on the front page. It's like, that's really weird. Why do they have an esports team? And I asked a friend who kind of covers tech and tech culture. She was like, oh yeah, they've been doing this for like a while now. Like, that's odd. So didn't think much of it. And then that week when I can't even remember, it was like mid-July, your viewers probably saw this, but the Army Esports Twitter account was getting like wildly mocked for tweeting uwu at some like video game brand or something.
And what is that? Yes, we should. Yes.
I don't know how best to describe it.
Listen, like, again, maybe
it's like an anime thing.
Okay. So it's not even okay. Because again, to show my age, I mean, I get like, you know, elite gamer speak that was big during when I was, you know, playing, you know, Warcraft 3, Frozen Throne, and all that fun early like RTS like stuff. And, you know, even World of Warcraft type speak, I'm familiar with it. But then I guess the gaming world changed somewhere where during some time when I became a dad and didn't play so much video games anymore. And, you know, I thought maybe that was some sort of new gamer talk I was missing out on. But it's an anime thing and I pay no attention to that. So it's all good.
I don't know what you're even missing, if you're missing anything. But it's something like that. But it's weird that the United States Army would be tweeting that because it's, you know, it's just weird. Right. And they got wildly made fun of, and I was like, okay, this is funny. And then I saw videos of people getting banned from their Discord server for posting the war crime Wikipedia page, like the link of all the list of all the U.S. war crimes. So I saw again a couple days later, they were streaming on Twitch, and I went into the chat and was like, what's your favorite war crime? But they had blocked the term war crime from being able, you know, to it be like they've auto modded it, so you can't even say that word. So I had to switch it to W4RCR1ME, and that went through. And then I posted the link, and this was while the guy on stream, who's a Green Beret, was talking about how people were making fun of the uwu tweet, and he was like, "I'm bigger than you," and all this stuff, and kind of like trying to flex. And he's like, "I'm gonna say uwu on every stream just to flex on them," and all this kind of stuff. Then he sees the message and he like reacts and he's like, "Oh, nice," and bans me. Got mad, and that was screen recorded it because I didn't know how they would react. And I thought I'd be curious to document, and I sent it to Rod Breslau, who goes by Slasher, who's like an esports guy, and he saw value and he's like, "You got to tweet this." And I didn't really care, I didn't want to, so I said, "You can." He did. It takes off, and then people start writing articles about it, just that video. Like Vice wrote about it, I think Kotaku wrote about it, and a bunch of other like aggregator, like tech gaming blogs and sites wrote about it.
Hell, I even wrote about it for Mashable. There you go.
And that's when it signaled to me, it was like, okay, that's all right, maybe there's something there. So talked to Ken Klippenstein, who folks might know, and said, "Do you think the Nation would be interested in a piece about what they're doing?" Because after I got banned, I started poking around and noticed this is a recruiting effort and they were using kind of insidious tactics, which we could talk about next, but he put me in touch with the Nation, who then kind of helped me write this like reported take op-ed piece that led to everything else.
Right. The Nation just happened to be looking for an esports writer.
Yeah, I want to flesh out the esports beat.
So you know, it's you know, I think let's go back just a little bit, because I do want to get into all that, but I do think it's worth talking about the U.S. Army playing games on Twitch. Now I think, you know, people are familiar with the fact that, you know, the military does have professional sports teams, and I think there is some sort of if we want to talk about the necessities of that, that's another story completely, and I would welcome that conversation because it seems, you know. But I think a lot of it is just a shock that like, oh, what are they doing playing games online? But, you know, esports is becoming a legitimate sort of competitive sport, I guess, really. I mean, it's right there in the name, esports. But it is a bit odd that, like, you know, there is a group of people who are in the military who are sitting around playing professional video games, really. I mean, I don't know if they're a pro team and they play competitively, but they're professional in the fact that they're getting paid to play games by the military.
Yeah. So a lot of people did bring up the college sports thing. They're like, well, the Army and the Navy have football teams. It's like, well, how's that okay? How's that any different? And what those teams are like cadets at like the college equivalent for West Point and the Naval Academy. So that's like part of like the traditional collegiate experience. I mean, that's not a school I would go to.
Right.
But I mean, you could reasonably make the argument that, yeah, okay, that's basically a college, but for the military. Sure, they can compete in regular athletics. That's fine. What's different here is that's not where they're housed. They're housed in the recruiting command in their respective branches, and it is a recruiting effort. So I think it's important to just draw the, not to say that you weren't drawing that distinction, but people should understand that, like, yes, the Navy and the Army and all those branches have sports teams, but it's like at the college equivalent. It's like their respective academies for the branches. This is in the recruiting command by people who have been in the military for several years and are trying to make a career out of the military. And the purpose is to get new recruits.
Right. I mean, that is a great, I'm glad you said that, because that is a great point. I mean, you laid it out, but I guess in summary, one is, like you said, a bunch of military officers who are in college, who are, you know, playing collegiate level sports. And the other is really just a marketing firm disguised as an esports league.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they're not, as far as I can tell, they're not competing like any other esports team would compete. They're not in those tournaments. They just sponsor them.
Right. Right. And again, I guess it would be the college thing is another big level. Like, even if they were competing in esports, like, what is the purpose there? It's not like, you know, it's a college experience for some young cadets or whatever. It's literally like, would we let the military start their own NBA or NFL team? You know what I mean? Like, it's, because then what would be the purpose of that? That's a professional, that's something completely different.
Right.
So let's talk about now this, because this is, some of this stuff is really shocking to me, actually. I mean, we are now at the point where we have established that they're on there playing video games on a platform that, I mean, really, I mean, I guess, what would you put the age range of Twitch users? I mean, maybe the actual streamers skew a little bit older, but the viewers certainly range in age from, you know, starting from very young.
Yeah, it's the youngest you can be, the youngest age, like the minimum age requirement for Twitch is 13. And from what I understand, like the biggest block on Twitch is 13 to 23 year old males.
Right.
So it, I don't know how it breaks down among those demographics, but that's most of the Twitch user base. They boast they can reach 75% of adolescent boys in America. That's Jeez. In their ad pitch, which wow. is a lot. That's huge.
And to add to that, you know, 13 is the minimum age legally, officially on Twitch. I can tell you, I mean, he uses one of his parents' accounts, but my 5-year-old, we pre-screen certain channels that we know he enjoys to make sure that they're kid friendly. One particular channel he likes on YouTube is Zach Scott Games, where he usually plays like Mario and stuff like that. And the guy makes sure he doesn't curse. So it's a family friendly show, but here he is 5 years old and, you know, he's watching that channel. So again, maybe the account is registered to someone minimum age 13 and older, but some of the people actually viewing it through that account could possibly be even younger.
That's yeah. I mean, I can't really report that out like in the Nation piece. So it's hard to draw right. that, you know, like definitive, you know, point. But yeah, like you said, like anecdotes from people who are younger and have kids, they'll tell you like young boys like that kind of stuff because they like Fortnite, they like Call of Duty, that kind of stuff. So I got a buddy, you know, he's got a kid who's 10 and a kid who's 6, and they're both always on Twitch. There's nothing really stopping a kid from going that site. You don't have to have an account to go on it. Like, you just have to have an account to chat.
Right. You have to have an account to say what's your favorite war crime.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd be 13 to troll. But yeah, it's like that's the thing. It's even younger than that. And yeah, that raises a huge red flag because the youngest age that technically you should be able to be recruited at is 16. This, I argue, is a violation of that understanding because they know that kids could, as young as 13, could be in there. I mean, as we talked about younger, but like they're promoting this on the front page,
right?
Or were up until all of this stuff kind of got published, but they were always on the front page.
They should put like a little thing in their Twitch profile that says, you could only view this if you're 16 plus. You know how like adult movie stars do on like their Twitter profile? And you know, of course, no one under the age of 18 ever looks at those Twitter profiles because they see it in the bio and they immediately go, oh, can't look at this.
Right. Yeah, but here's the thing. So the functionality on Twitch isn't like foolproof, but there's something there that's possible. Now, Bud Light recently had a sponsored stream featured on the front page. And this was kind of at the same time I was doing this, so I clicked it to see like what a clearly designed stream for adults would do. And they asked me my age. And I put in, I was like 15 to see what it would do, and it like blocked me. It was kind of annoying because I also wanted to see what they were streaming. And like no matter what I did, it like tracked my cookies and or something. I could not go back and watch that Bud Light stream. The military does not have that. It's like this on, I think, one of the branches just says this broadcast is intended for mature audiences, and then you have a button to click OK. If you're a kid and you just want to click through, like you're going to do it. Right. So there's nothing really like, and they have the functionality, but they're not doing it. They could set it to 16, but they're not.
Right. And I should also make of note, just because we're talking about this, and I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea, I think 16 is also way too young, but that's the legal age. I mean, I think if, you know, I mean, to be honest, I don't think I was mature enough to make any sort of rational decision until at least my mid-20s, to be quite frank. And I, you know, sort of being serious, too, and I think a lot of people probably feel, you know, probably, I mean, you could stay under our healthcare system. You can stay under your parents' healthcare plan till 26. I mean, that's saying a lot, too. I mean, happy they let you do that. But, I mean, it sort of shows that, like, you know, the age in which you're an actual adult in many ways is not so much the second you turn 18. And also, it's a bit different for everybody. So,
yeah.
So let's... I know I said this about 20 minutes ago, but now let's go into some of these things they were doing to recruit people, because there's a lot more than just playing on a video game stream. And as nefarious as just them being on Twitch can seem, it actually gets a lot worse, in my opinion.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got distracted. I just thought Trump is going to ban TikTok. Like a new news alert, and I'm trying to like think about how that would even work.
So Wait, again?
Yeah, he issued like an executive order with a 45-day window for them to sell it or get banned, which is just like...
Oh, he's been talking about this forever, though, so I don't know if this is just him trying to take up some news time, you know what I mean? Like, just try to not have people talk about all the terrible Trump stuff there is to talk about it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he's going to be doing this. I guess it's an official countdown now, though, with the signing of the executive order.
Yeah, yeah. The most important, like, pressing issue of our day is TikTok. So I'm glad he's tackling that.
Right. Yes. No pandemic. No economic, you know, meltdown. No, you know, everyone's doing great. Everyone's doing fantastic.
Right. Sorry, but your question was kind of where things went from there, from the
yes,
trolling?
My setup was that it's even crazier what you uncovered than just the fact that Twitch, that the U.S. military is just on Twitch recruiting to begin with. Actually, the methods they're using to recruit are far more worrisome, even, if you ask me.
Yes. So the way that the Army specifically was recruiting was relying on kind of bait and switch tactics. And in the chat, if you've been on Twitch, you've probably seen something like Nightbot or Streamlabs bot, Cloudbot, you know, all these different types of things that are automated prompts in the chat that the streamer sets up, you know, to plug maybe like their social media accounts or remind you that you can follow and get a free subscription with your Twitch Prime account, stuff like that. Well, the Army esports team set theirs up to say you could win an Xbox Elite Series 2 controller. And if you're unfamiliar, that is a $200 controller with like extra bells and whistles that like, you know, really skilled people will use. And if you like even compete or, you know, play Fortnite like really sweaty, you want that controller. Average controller is like $50. So this is like quite the get, especially if you're a kid. But when you click that link, It does not take you to a contest entry form. It takes you to a recruiting form. And there's no mention again of how many winners there are, when the deadline is, like what you need to do to win, odds, all that kind of stuff that's like required for online sweepstakes. It's just a recruiting form.
How much did you say this controller goes for again?
$200.
Sign me up, baby. I'm headed to Iraq. Yeah.
that's a deal, man. Additionally, so on their esports Twitter account, they had another link that was in their bio that just, it was like goarmy.com/esports. And I checked today. This link is still active. I'm not encouraging your viewers to go sign up for the Army, but like if you are curious, you could still see it and how it was presented. Goarmy.com/esports in the bio on the page for the esports team. Right. Now, you click it. At the very top in all caps, it says register to win. And below it is a recruiting form. No mention of what you could win. Again, no details on what they could win or deadline, number of winners, nothing. It's just a recruiting form with register to win at the top. Now, that is, if you are a kid and you think maybe there's like gaming stuff related to, you know, like maybe a game or whatever. On the stream, they had mentioned giveaways. And then in the chat, they mentioned the controller thing. Very, very deceptive. Now, the youngest you could fill out that form, if you were born later in the year, like later in the year from when you're filling it out, you could be as young as 12 and still submit that form.
What?
And there's no clarity on what they were doing with that information. I gotta imagine they're holding on to it, but they wouldn't answer any questions about it.
12?
And there's a JR. Yep.
I'm just like letting that simmer for a minute because that's insane. That's
yeah.
How what year are 12-year-olds born again? That's what 2008, I think. Jesus, yeah. I was people born when I graduated from college can send in this
recruiting form
to ostensibly win a controller, video game controller that. Apparently in a contest that doesn't even really exist, there's no controller being given away. Do we know that there, I mean,
not they said that, there was, but there's no proof.
Right. I mean, again, not that the controller matters, but I think it would add an extra if there wasn't, you know, there a little bit of an extra, like what the hell if the contest was even the contest was a lie. But that is stunning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's deceptive. It's just so malicious, and they knew what they were doing. They got defensive once people like started talking about it in Twitch. To their credit, the next day after the Nation piece ran, they're like, "Oh no, you can't do that anymore." So they immediately shut down the giveaways, and the Army has said that going forward they'll comply. But
now,
we'll see.
Do you know how much Twitch forced them to do? Like it was Twitch's. Like it wasn't like the U.S. Army decided because it was a bad press. Like Twitch basically said, "Do you know what the out like?" Twitch could just say we don't allow you to do that, or they can also put down the ultimatum where it's like, you know, if you do that again, we will ban your account. Like, do you know what exactly went down, or they just came to some sort of mutual agreement to not do that anymore?
I think they were just told, like, you have to, if you want to do giveaways, you have to comply with, like, federal guidelines, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I can't imagine that they would come close to banning them because the Army and the Navy are rumored to be spending, like, millions on promotion on this kind of stuff. So at the end of the day, it's more – Amazon's more profitable if the military is one of their, you know, their paying customers or their paying advertisers. But just, like, hey – you're violating the law. I think it was probably a conversation closer to that.
Right.
But that's, the thing is, it wasn't like the Army was willingly like compliant and or like understood that this was deceptive because, like I said, that link is still in existence. The GoArmy.com/esports link still says register to win at the top.
That is so basically they're just not posting it out on Twitch anymore, but it still exists. So some young, kid can stumble across it.
Totally. I mean, it's promoted elsewhere. They took it out of their Twitter bio because I mean, we had pointed it out, but I'm sure they're promoting that link elsewhere.
Right. And now I just want to, you reminded me of this, and I think this interview happened after you discovered all this, but apparently a U.S. Army Major General Frank Muth went on a online show, Think Tech Hawaii, and basically like defended, not even defended it so much, because I don't think he really straight up answered any questions regarding what you uncovered. But it was clear from the timing and what they were talking about, you know, him just trying to sell the military doing this. And he basically straight up comes out. I don't know if you've seen this interview, have you?
Is this the one where, about tracking the IP address and sending him a message?
I don't know if that's what it was. I don't recall if that was in the here. But I have grabbed I grabbed these quotes because these were interesting to me. He says that esports is just an avenue to start a conversation. None of our players go in there saying, I'm a recruiter, come join the army. It naturally devolves into a conversation. What do you do? Oh, I'm in the army. As if that sells it as something less nefarious. I mean, if anything, that actually sounds a little bit like, I think it would actually be better if they just set up a tent that said, U.S. Army recruitment, come play games while we try to send you overseas. I mean, I would prefer that. I would prefer that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, that kind of speaks to the whole, like, deceptive nature of this entire effort. So it's like, yeah, they're trying to posture as, now especially, the Navy over the past week has really tried to pivot toward this outreach model. They're like, oh, no, we're not recruiters. And people are repeatedly asking them about their approach on Twitch. But there's documentation to show that they are recruiters. They have to go through recruiter training, and they're housed in the Navy Recruiting Command. And their objective is to get you to enlist. And still, they're like admitting all that on stream. And like, yeah, but like, you know, I'm a machinist. Well, yeah, you're a machinist in the recruiting command. Like, that is your job. And it kind of, yeah, it just speaks to this like deceptive effort overall. If that's the kind of the position they want to take, I mean, go for it. But like, people see right through it, and they're just getting pummeled in the chat night after night.
Right. So I want to continue to the next, where the story takes us next. But you mentioned something about IP addresses, and I don't want to leave that hanging there. What?
Oh yeah.
What?
I can't remember who specifically said it, but it was a military official talking about esports and games being used as a recruiting tactic, and said something along the lines of, like, if you see someone performing really well in Call of Duty, they'll like send a message to that IP address. I can't remember the specifics of how they would do that. Be like, look, I'll tell your parents, I'll give you like $100,000 for college right now if you come with us. But also, like, they're using this as like a ploy, basically, to be like, oh, yeah, you could be on the esports team. Well, no, you can't. Like, these are career military officials. Like, you're not going to go in and enlist and be on the esports team. You're going to be a grunt. You're going to have to go through all the other stuff for years. Might get deployed. Might die. Might suffer PTSD and not be able to live your life like normally ever again. And they're just framing it as like, oh, yeah, come try out. You can't do that. And they've really hidden that.
I'm now picturing like a young kid signing up for the military, going through all the training and all the grueling grunt work like you just mentioned, and his goal is to get on the esports team. It's like, first of all, there is no esports team. There's no esports team. It's a marketing tool. Like, it's you too could become a marketer and play video games while doing what the goal is, which is to get people to join the military. I mean, it's just like it's incredible.
Yeah.
So we're at Twitch tells the U.S. military they can't do what they're doing anymore with these giveaways and these other sketchy schemes. What happens next? So the military stops streaming for a bit, right? Didn't they take a break for a bit, or no? They kept on going.
The Army stops immediately. The Navy stops a couple days later. And as this is like moving through Congress, radio silence. We haven't gotten there yet, but like, you know, foreshadowing.
Right.
They're just like radio silent. They talk about the Army, you know, comes out, the Army wants to just stop indefinitely. Like I said, the Navy goes a couple days later for a couple more days, but they're just getting pummeled. and the chat banning people left and right. It's a mess. And then eventually, as it heats up, they stop as well.
So at some point, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comes across this. Now, do you know how she found out about this? Was it your writing in The Nation? Was do you have a secret back channel? Are you good friends with AOC?
Not good friends with her. I wish. I mean, she seems cool. But a friend of mine who runs a foreign policy group caught notice of the story and was like, oh, wow, that is remarkable. It's like appropriation season for the Defense Department. Let's pitch him. Let's pitch some people on the Hill and see if anyone would introduce an amendment. So he had me write up a overview of the problem and what's at stake and, you know, maybe some angles that people could tackle it from, and took it first try to AOC's office, and her policy guy was like, oh yeah, this is great. And the next day they had the amendment introduced.
That's crazy. Now AOC is a bit of a gamer herself, so maybe it was like, you know, one of those things that hits close to home. I know, yeah. She plays Animal Crossing. I don't know what else she plays. I'm assuming other games.
League of Legends, I think she also plays.
I remember that, right? That was one of the. That's, I think that was the game where she like unveiled that she's like a legit gamer.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But that's crazy how quickly this all went down. So from the moment you find that first stream to AOC introducing an amendment, how long is that?
A week.
Jordan, we need you to somehow get involved with healthcare. We need you to somehow get involved with the prison industrial complex. We need you to somehow. Can you find angles to do we know if Rikers is streaming on on Twitch? Do you know?
Oh, that'd be so great.
If Blue Cross Blue Shield is currently what's another? DLive, is that one of those other streaming platforms? That's... Right.
God. I'll do what I can. I think it's also like it looks cool on paper. It's just a coincidence of timing because the appropriations bill was just moving through at the same time.
Is Sally Mae on BitChute?
Sally Mae has got to be like an MLM type marketer, right. Doing like Vita. What's that Vita cost?
Which is
stuff.
Why I think BitChute might be the appropriate platform, or maybe Steemit. You know what I'm talking about? That random one.
I don't know Steemit.
Oh, okay. It's one of those random platforms that like hands out like crypto points for every like upvote your post gets, and I think they have like a streaming platform as well connected to it.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well,
so what happens with the amendment?
So yeah, it's the first battle is getting it through the Rules Committee because you can't legislate in an appropriations bill. So it had to kind of fit a very, very narrow framework, and it had to only revolve around funding. So the proposal was cut funding for all esports related activities in the military, and esports and live streaming related recruitment efforts. So pretty limited. The original proposal also had all video games, which would have been really interesting, but it's like really tough to track because a lot of that's done through like consulting and like kind of like back channel, like, you know, blinks, nods, elbows to be like, hey, yeah, maybe rewrite this war crime and make Russia do it in the new Call of Duty. So really hard to track, and that's more that felt more under the legislative category. But they got this proposal through, and the Rules Committee approved it, and you know, made it an order, and that sent it to the floor. And this is where things got a little dicey. So we had originally expected it to be included in block, which is, you know, the group amendments for huge bills like this. They'll group amendments in like 15 to 20, and then just pass via voice vote. They thought it would do that. They thought it would be included with a bunch of other kind of just random things, and then there'd be an up or down vote. Democratic leadership singled this one out and wanted this one voted on up or down. And when it came time to debate, so obviously AOC goes out and gives a speech and support. Republicans turn. They give their time to the House Democrats chair for the Defense Subcommittee on Appropriations. So the Republicans basically had a Democrat speak on their behalf to oppose it. And that's kind of when we knew it was like probably doomed.
Who is that, by the way?
Oh, Miskolski.
Okay.
Pete Miskolski. And
oh, I want you. I want you naming names, by the way. I know you have a list. I've seen you tweeted it out.
I do. I can pull it up while we're getting there. But yeah, that was when we kind of knew it was doomed. Then the CPC came out.
What did you say? Nice tie-in.
Yeah, of course. The CPC came out and was like, "You got to vote for this." So the Progressive Caucus, they're whipping in support, but then the Committee on Appropriations was like, "No, they didn't give a recommendation," which basically signals to people like vote no. When it came down to it, it was 103 Democrats joining Republicans to kill it, and some of them were CPC members, and it just really shows that like this is the military-industrial complex is. It's a hugely powerful and influential force, and people are really scared of it, especially scared of voting against it. And, you know, there's cause for optimism in that like 120 some members voted for it, but yeah, not enough.
All right. So who are some of the standouts who voted against it? Because I think, you know, there were some disappointing names. I remember you sort of sharing out.
Tulsi was, I think, the one that was the funniest. Her politics kind of, I don't know what her politics are, but sometimes she's anti-war and anti-imperialism and fashions herself in that way. And she voted against it.
Yeah, not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, Ted Lieu, I think, was the funniest one because he's always trying to be like the woke posting congressman. Some of the others, like Charisse David, Abigail Spanberger, those are more like pro-military people, but like also try to also be progressive sometimes. Mike Levin from California tries to be progressive. But then the funny one was Max Rose from New York, and he represents Brooklyn and Staten Island, parts of Staten Island. And he gave a quote to the Post where he said this is like a limousine liberal amendment, and they think it gets recruited into the military is just like some dumb like fooled person. And from what I'm told, he made it clear to people that he thought the entire thing was about in school recruiting and had no idea what he was actually voting on. So that was one of the more funny no's.
Incredible. You know, these guys, I swear, I mean, it's pretty simple to I don't see how any rational person can not be against the fact that you don't have to be anti, you know, the U.S. Imperial, you know, you don't got to be against the U.S. Army or anything like that. You just say people at this age are too susceptible to, you know, to being convinced to do things that they might not either A, want to do, or B, be cut out for. Like, it's just that simple. Like, there's not, you know, it's actually very frustrating to hear people not quite get it. Especially when you just mentioned how one congressperson, Max Rose, actually didn't get it. Like, literally did not understand what he was even doing.
Yeah. Yeah, this, you know, tech literacy is a problem in Congress in general. We see the advancements in technology and how that, like, leads to just members being confused, not really knowing how to tackle these problems. And, like, you know, it's leading to some pretty disastrous consequences. Like, we're seeing just like conspiracy theories pop up everywhere, and we're seeing it spread like wildfire in different social networks, and the platforms aren't regulating themselves. Like, why would they? It's in their best interest financially to just keep people on their platforms as much as they can. So feed them what they want, even if it's like bad for them. And Congress doesn't really know what to do. Like, we see that demonstrated in tech hearings all the time. So this was a huge problem in the vote. Like, many of them didn't even know what Twitch was.
The funny thing is that, like, you know, this actually isn't really even a tech issue in the same way that, like, when they have to deal with, you know, how Facebook or Twitter or, you know, yes, Twitch is a major component of this, but at the very basis, it's not about how an algorithm works. It's not about how a company is carrying out policy, because the problem in this scenario wasn't really technically Twitch. The issue here was, does the U.S. military... do we want the U.S. military using resources where they can reach out to people, to kids as young as 12, 13 years old to try to recruit them. I mean, the tech tie-in really is just like an added thing in this case. It's, you know, it seems like a pretty simple thing to understand, even if you don't get the tech side of the conversation.
Yeah, well, the people, like, opponents to this and, like, you know, people who are defending what the military is doing really tried to exploit that ignorance, though, and frame this as advertising. And basically, a lot of members thought that, well, they're just advertising here like they would advertise in a magazine or on TV. This is just where audiences are. And the military really tried to hammer that home. What is left out of that is the dynamic that happens on Twitch, which is unique, really, to that platform. And that's where I think it's key to understanding what Twitch is. And if your viewers have been on it or used it, they know, like, the interaction between the person on stream and the chat and viewership is really unique. You're not really going to find that in a Facebook stream. It just comments on Facebook live streams or just at the stream. Very rarely do you ever see people interacting with it. And it's just like kind of like a toxic, like, cesspool. On Twitch, they interact with you. And you develop these back and forth, and there's like this kind of parasocial relationship. And you probably know him, but Hassan Piker, who left Young Turks, now does that full time. And he was quoted in the story saying, like, it could be alarming, like, because people convince themselves that you're their friend because they're talking to you in the chat for hours on end, night after night. And that's what the military is doing. And people really didn't get that. And, like, that's easily exploitable if you want something and if you are in that position, in the streamer's position, and they do. They want you to enlist. So I think that's, like, super alarming, and I wish more people would understood that.
Right. No, it's a great point. And again, I'm just going to reiterate, because I think it's something that a lot of people, you know, including myself, off the bat, really didn't think of. You know, if the military was to run an ad on Twitch, what do they get? 10, 15 seconds for an ad to run, and it's, you know, professionally produced, and it's trying to sell you something in terms of, you know, go to army.com or whatever their website is, etc. But with this, and you lay it out, you have people watching these streamers for hours on end, interacting with them, and I mean, and they feel like they know the person. I mean, I sort of get it too, because I mean, doing a live stream show, I mean, not with a audience as large as others, but there's people in my stream who I talk to, and they talk to me as if we're friends. And I mean, yeah, I get it, because, you know, we're in here for this particular show once a week for anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, sometimes even more, and we're hanging out. And, you know, that's what you do with friends. So yeah. The only difference is I'm not telling my audience to join the military and put their lives on the line. I'm only telling them to go to patreon.com/MattBinder and sign up.
Which is even worse than the military.
Yes, no. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's just like, but you're not exploiting it. Hassan is really careful about not exploiting it. He's had people, like, show up at his house and stuff. He's had to move multiple times. Mm. Like, people can get really attached, and that's worrisome. The military is not going to be as mindful as you are with the chat. You know, they're going to exploit that because the goal is to get people to enlist. That's really troublesome.
What we need is we need to get those people who showed up at Hassan's to become fans of the military's Twitch stream, and then we could have these people show up outside of these military bases, freaking the hell out of the military, and then maybe they'll just stop streaming altogether.
There we go. That could be one way to end it.
So what are the next steps, I guess, is the real question. Is the amendment sort of, you know, kaput for now, or what are we looking at now in terms of, you know, I didn't even ask you. I know the answer, but for the audience, is the military back on Twitch streaming?
Yeah. So the Navy resumed this past weekend. They're just now full steam ahead. And like we mentioned earlier, we're not recruiting. We're doing outreach. It's lies about their purpose. They're trying to, like, kind of shift away from the explicit recruiting and now into, like, hey, fellow kids, like, how do you like video games type stuff? They've also, the army has also said that they're going to resume streaming soon. They just said in the near future. They didn't say when. And now we're hearing that the Air Force and the Marines, I think this was kind of probably a top-down thing where it's like, you need, because a lot of people, some of the messaging in support of the AOC amendment was pointing to the Marines, who in the past, especially when the story broke, said esports wasn't for them because it gamified war and they felt that was irresponsible. And not that I'm going to champion the Marines as like a do-gooder, but I thought that was notable. Now they're not. Now they're getting into it. I think this is to kind of just to spread the blame, and it makes it harder to use one branch's stance against the other. So now the Air Force and the Marines are getting into it. I think they feel emboldened. And I wanted to point out, going back to just, oh, the overall debate around, like you said, it wasn't a tech issue. It was more about recruiting kids. You're right. It absolutely was. And I do think it was important that people understood that. And I don't think they did. But now it's, they're going to try to make it younger. Like, it's just the nature of reactionary politics, and especially right-wing reactionary politics. I had people on Twitter trying to, like, prominent, not that they're, like, respected, but, like, Baseball Crank, who people probably know of, was arguing in my mentions on Twitter that, like, yeah, sure, military recruiters should be able to go into kindergarten classes. It's a job. It just go in for career day like firefighters go in. And it's like, that's horrifying. But kindergartners should not be recruited for the military.
But you know what? When firefighters go in for career day, they're just like explaining what the people you see in your everyday life are doing. They don't go in with a form so your 2-year-old or 3-year-old can sign up and go fight fires as soon as they can. There's no, it's just like, hey, I'm a firefighter. You see me around town. No need to worry about me. I'm here making sure, you know, the cat in the tree can get down. And, you know, and if there's a fire in your neighbor's house, I'll put it out and make sure everyone's okay. Like, they're not actively recruiting people to the to join the FDNY or if you're here in New York or, you know, whatever. Yep. That's ludicrous. It's not the same at all.
Right. And, yeah, you know, there's just, like, there's big differences between, like, the impact of being a firefighter or any other job that would come to your class for career day, than the military.
Do the military branches play games specific to each? Is that even the proper term? Military branch? Do they play games specific to their military branch? Like, for example, if the Air Force was only playing Star Fox, I think I would actually probably watch that. You know, like if
there's more recent flying games, but yeah, again,
excuse me. You're gonna do a barrel roll and you're gonna like it, buddy. Okay.
Oh, well, okay. All right. If they're playing through Star Fox 64, I would watch probably once. But yeah, no, not necessarily. I mean, like, the Air Force really isn't streaming a lot yet. But they do have a Minecraft server, which is really weird. Which that, you know, that's a game that appeals to young people.
It's a game I don't get at all. Another one of those things where I guess I'm aging.
It's just like, oh yeah, it's a lot. And like the build, I guess it's like Legos, kind of. If you look at it like Legos, it might make more sense. But
I hate those too, so I guess it makes sense.
You stepped on enough as a dad, you're done. Yeah, but it's they don't necessarily play like branch specific games. It's mostly shooters though.
Of course.
It's a lot of Call of Duty. It's a lot of Escape from Tarkov. It's a lot of Valorant, Apex Legends. Those are the big ones. But it's mostly Call of Duty Warzone, which I thought was really interesting because it so closely resembles actual armed conflict without any of the pitfalls. It gives you the ability to commit war crimes as a killstreak using white phosphorus. And it is a franchise that has been known to, you know, work with the military and allow them to help shape the content. And this most recent iteration, the one that they play often, is like literally like revisionist history. They said like the Highway of Death was committed by the Russians. So, no, it wasn't. So it's just, it's so weird that of all the games, I think that one stands out as the most like just gnarly.
That's, you know, it is interesting. And, you know, I'm glad I made that joke because I wasn't expecting you to have a good answer for it. But that's really interesting. It didn't occur to me that, you know, they actually were. Now, do they just play games that are like shooters that are realistic, like Call of Duty? Are the other games you mentioned, which I don't know at all except for Call of Duty, are they like they don't play like sci-fi type shooters or anything like that. These are all like sort of realistic ones?
No, they play sci-fi ones.
Okay.
Or like kind of more comical ones. Like Valorant is a bit more comical and sci-fi. Apex Legends is especially, but Escape from Tarkov is another one that's really popular on the Navy stream. That is more realistic.
Well, they have the Space Force now, so they need to get people ready for that.
Yeah, maybe they'll drop that with the new Halo. Right. But yeah, that's it's I don't know. It's just weird. The Call of Duty one is really weird because it really speaks to the danger with our consumption habits, especially of military propaganda like agitprop. So you might go see Saving Private Ryan or watch Saving Private Ryan at home once, see it on TV. Okay, that's it. You might go see American Sniper once in the theater. Maybe there's a recruiter in the lobby and you're like, oh, okay, interesting, whatever. And that's it. And then you might play Call of Duty a little bit more regularly, but that's, you know, you're just consuming. Here you are watching this. If you are a regular viewer, night after night, hours on end, with a recruiter while they're playing this game that is designed to appeal to you and has been, you know, shaped with military recruitment in mind and, you know, follows a long legacy of agitprop, like recruiting elements in military video games. And just the consumption habits are so different. Like, you're not going to watch American Sniper every single night over and over again, you know? Like, it's so kind of a one-off, one-way consumption.
Oh, wait,
like,
you're not supposed to do pattern. That?
I mean, you might need to be on a watch list if you do.
Right.
But yeah, it's like you're not gonna watch the same movies over and over again. Right. But here you are, like, hanging out, if you're a regular viewer, hours on end, day after day. And that is just a totally different style of consumption of propaganda.
Right. If you see me riding dragons anytime soon, it's because if there's nothing on TV to watch, we throw on an episode of Game of Thrones. That's like a nightly That's like a nightly thing.
I'll keep an eye out.
The night, and this is almost every night, the night undoubtedly ends with me complaining about how bad the last season was. Every single night.
So I never watched it, but the reactions to the last season kind of justified and solidified my opinions, and I felt justified in never watching.
Right.
It just seemed like people were really disappointed.
We'll talk about this more. You're going to join me for the second half of the show, which we're about to go into, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. So we'll talk about that then and there. So let's wrap this up with this, because I think I got you off on a different tangent here. So what is the future hold for this? Is it just is what it is now, and they would just have to re-go through the process if someone wants to bring it up again, or is it sort of kaput?
Oh, we never even talked about the lawsuit.
Oh, well, let's do this.
The first amount of components.
Oh my god.
Potential lawsuit, but yeah.
Against you?
No, against the military.
Oh, okay.
On behalf of the plane.
I'm about to say, what was going on there?
No. So they, because they blocked me, both the Army and the Navy, the Knight First Amendment Center at Columbia University wrote a letter, a demand letter to both branches, and was like, you can't do this. It's unconstitutional.
Right.
You need to unblock him. And you also need to lay out what your guidelines are that comply with the First Amendment. You can't mute people or block people on the basis of their viewpoint. And they had until yesterday to respond. I'm still blocked by both. The Army said they will unblock me, but they like haven't met the deadline and they didn't specify when. And I think that was mostly just to placate the attorney. So now we're reviewing our options going forward. But yeah, I'm still blocked. And that is, you know, that violates my First Amendment rights along with everyone else who's blocked their rights. And you should be able to, because especially in recruiting, you have a constitutional right to counter recruit in the same space. So you are allowed to do that, and you're allowed to go in. It doesn't have to be nice. It doesn't have to be polite. You can do it however you want. The government cannot ban you on the basis of viewpoint.
That is really interesting. It didn't even occur to me that even in the online space, they would have to. Right. Wow.
I think this is kind of a new frontier in speech cases, but like we need to start thinking about this. And thankfully, First Amendment scholars are, because as speech becomes more digital, the interaction that we have with the government becomes more digitized. We need the same protections that we would have if we were standing outside City Hall.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, when a number of Twitter users got blocked by Trump and that was a First Amendment issue, to me, that was almost sort of like, oh, well, obviously you can't block these Twitter users for replying to him in a tweet. But something about like the nature of like live streaming and like the live chat, I guess, because of how like I don't know, just like how quick and just like, you know, it's just like there and just shoots right by. I guess it didn't even occur to me that like you need to let them talk shit if you're a government agency or a government, a branch of government. You can't just block people if you're just because you don't like what they're saying to you on your own on your account on a platform.
Right. Yeah, they seem to think that they're just like regular users. And like the funny thing, I think it was like the army put out a user agreement. It's like you can't like that doesn't you're not a company. They're just trying to operate like any other private industry or private person. It's like you are just held to a completely different set of rules.
Right.
One of the funny ones, I can't remember which branch, but one of them originally had a rule that was like you're not allowed to say anything that's designed to elicit a reaction from the streamer. Yes, you are. Like what? That's so restrictive. That rule is gone, but that one was really comical.
I just would like to let my live stream watchers know that you're not allowed to say anything in the live chat that will get any reaction from me. The point of this is to be as dull and dry as possible. I mean, what's the point then? You just want people in there, going like, haha, yeah, you blew their head off. Yeah, bang, bang. Like, you know, like, I don't understand, like, what else you're going to get in there if you don't think, what doesn't elicit a reaction? That's just bizarre.
Right. Yeah, they want game chat. They want stuff like that. They want, like, you know, flattering commentary about the military. People coming in like, oh, I'm stationed here. Love it. Thanks for doing this. Thank you for your service. Kind of that hoorah bullshit. But, like, they're just used to being treated like gods everywhere, like going to NASCAR races for decades and just being like worshipped. And now they're coming to a place where people don't want them, with a generation who's seen nothing but just like military failures around the world for like their entire lives. And they expect it to be treated the same. Like it's not going to work.
Right. Right. Yeah. Jordan, this was incredible. please keep me up to date with what's going on. If anything else comes, I mean, something will happen. This isn't the end of this. I'm sure this is going to be a long journey, and eventually you're going to be back on this show with special guest Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the two of you are going to run down how you stopped the U.S. military from streaming on Twitch and recruiting on there. And I, by then, hopefully, will have somewhat, maybe somewhere around 50,000 Patreons and be making absolute bank. And you guys can come to my mansion and we could do this live, like a live in-person interview.
All right. Sounds good.
That's my... So Jordan's going to join us now in the second half of the show, and we'll take some Super Chat questions, and we will... talk about other things in the news. I really appreciate you sticking around, Jordan. If you'd like, I will just do some quick plugs and everything. Oh, let me plug your stuff. Where can people find you and name drop everything that you do that you want to promote, buddy?
The podcast that Rob Rousseau and I do is called The Insurgents. We're on all the, you know, podcasting platforms. Matt has been on the show.
Right. That's a great episode, by the way. One of my favorites.
Yeah. that was the episode in the middle of the show. That clip emerged, if you remember, of the guy in Buffalo getting shoved by the cop. Remember, we were kind of like paused while we were recording because we all saw it going around on Twitter.
What a chilling
clip. That's the podcast I host. And then, yeah, as mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm on Twitch. Really_chill_guy is my Twitch name because I never thought I would stream and just kind of saw it as a joke. But that's my name. Sorry, I'm not changing it. Underscores are staying.
I like it, man. It's all about the underscores. Nothing is easier. Nothing is easier to remember.
So it's so bad. And like Hassan will give me shit. And he's got a running joke on his stream that it's the worst username on Twitch. But now I'm just like I'm dead set on keeping it now. The fact that it bothers people, I have to keep it now.
You have to, absolutely. And it's the name you use to mess with the army. So how can you ever give it away, right? I mean,
I know that's the weird part. He like says it too. It sounds so funny.
So Jordan, if you want to go grab a drink or anything, you need to stretch or anything as we transition to the second half, feel free to do so now. I'm just going to do some quick plugs and be back live in a minute. Folks, you can support this show by going to patreon.com/mattbinder. It helps grow this program. You get the audio version of the second half of the show in your Patreon feed. Everyone gets the free half of the podcast at doomedpod.com or on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you listen to podcasts. On Twitter at Matt Binder, on Instagram at Matt Binder. Anywhere there's a social media platform, I'm on there either as at Matt Binder or you just search Matt Binder and I'll come up. I was on, I didn't even realize earlier in the program when I first started, I said I was tired from doing two shows today. I once again co-hosted the Majority Report Thursdays with Jamie Peck, Matt Leck, and Brendan Finn of the Majority Report crew. It was another great show, in my opinion. I had lots of fun doing it, as always, with those guys and gal. We'll be doing it again in the coming... we'll be doing it next week. But be sure to go to Sam's Majority Report website and YouTube channel and catch that episode. What else? How else can you support the show? Oh, Super Chats. Here we go. Don't forget to do this. If you want to ask me and Jordan a question, taking Super Chats right here in the live stream chat. And if you're not already subscribed, youtube.com/MattBinder. Also, I guess if there's any episodes, remember to drop this. twitch.tv/MattBinder. Subscribe to the Twitch channel too, even though I have no idea what I'm doing on there. But this is streaming on there right now. I do the multi-stream thing. Well, anyway, going into the second half with Jordan. Other than that, see you guys all next time on Doomed.